This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn-Mark Roshan-Kennison and Noel Lim. 7:07 a.m, Wednesday the 9th of September, and in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Carmelo Ferlito, CEO of the Centre for Market Education, on the government's plans to potentially introduce an e-commerce tax. But before that, we're taking a look at the markets.
If we take a look at the US, it was deeply in the red. Actually, we're seeing a bit of a sell-off based on the tech sell-off over the last few days. I think this is the third day of trading. It's been in the red. The S&P closed down 2.8%. The Dow Jones was down 2.2%. And the tech-heavy NASDAQ was down 4%. If we take a look at the broader region, Asia closed in the green, primarily in the green yesterday, except for Singapore, which closed down 0.3%. KLCI was up 0.2. Hong Kong was up 0.15. Shanghai was up 0.7. Japan was up 0.8. Korea was up 0.7. And Australia was up 1%. So it'll be interesting to see how the Asian markets react today. And taking a look at some of the most active, most traded counters in the US, Tesla was down 21% to $330. This is post-stock split, not to give anyone a heart attack out there. And Apple was down about 7% to $112, again after stock splits. The only one in the green I'm seeing here is Nikola Corp, and we got some news on that in a bit, which was up 41% to $50 after a potential deal with investment from GM.
All right, and now taking a look as well at the wider global markets as well, we have on the line with us Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda. Jeffrey, thank you for joining us. Now, last night, the US markets corrected sharply with the VIX index rising in tandem. Is this just the market taking a breather, or are investors starting to look again at the valuations in light of the economic realities?
I think this is still more of a correction phase than a structural turn of sentiment. Having said that, this correction could still have quite some legs to go yet. We've seen the sheer scale of the stock market rally since mid-March, and we can still fall 10 to 15% off the highs of that rally and still be comfortably in a bull market. We have to just keep an eye on the fact that the fundamentals that drove this rally in the first place, which is bottomless amounts of central bank easing at 0% around the world, all that money and a global savings glut in a 0% world, that's all still slushing around in the global financial system looking for a home. We have seen a lot of hype, though, I will fully acknowledge, but we could still fall quite some way yet before we start talking bear markets. The underlying drivers of this rally are still well and truly intact.
As the Western countries head towards the flu season like the US, do you anticipate more distancing measures, and what will be the impact on the economy?
It's not really so much the flu season. I mean, I'm looking at the UK last night. They've banned groups over six people. Denmark, all across Europe, we're starting to see these movement restrictions being brought in to a lesser or greater degree. Asia also has some challenges as well. I think it would take a large resurgence of COVID-19 to really undermine the global recovery. I believe that the world's very quickly moving to a new normal where they accept that this is sort of floating around in their community, and you'll see temporary restrictions or geographical restrictions within countries to control it. So for my mind, we would need to see a massive resurgence like we saw earlier in the year in the developed world to really undermine the world recovery.
When we take a look at the UK, Jeff, are you more bullish or bearish on the pound sterling in light of its recent sell-off as Brexit tensions rise?
Oh, well, I'm a perpetual bear because I have daughter number two doing the second year of her degree, her master's degree in the UK. So I'm a perpetual bear anyway. Brexit's actually been very good to us on the school fee front. Yeah, this is a little concerning. And we saw a senior lawyer yesterday resign because Britain is looking to basically wipe out part of their Brexit agreement with the European Union and change the wording and change the agreement on a one-sided manner. To me, this is the bigger issue. What is Britain's signature worth on a legal document, on a piece of paper, if they're going to start retrospectively changing the conditions? And I think that's why the pound itself has started falling again. I think this one's got more to run. Brexit's been on a long holiday all year, thanks to COVID-19, but all it did was take a vacation. It never really went away. And ahead of October 15th and the possible hard Brexit, there is room for the pound to move lower, I think, to reprice that risk.
Now, the euro is also appreciating against the US dollar at the moment. Is the ECB concerned about this strengthening, and is there a range that they might like to see it trade at?
Yeah, they're definitely worried about it, and we have a meeting and a rate decision tomorrow, and they will probably make some noise about the height of the recent rally in the euro. We have seen noises from officials over the last few weeks. They definitely don't want to see it consolidating above 120, but they are very aware of a very militant US administration when it comes to currencies. So their ability to do anything more than either ease more, which I don't expect, or to try and talk it down, is pretty limited. So we've seen the euro fall in the last few days as risk has been repriced in the markets generally, and the US dollar rise. But again, I think the euro led the recovery, the dollar sell-off initially, and that will continue. But we may see more of a consolidation to the downside first.
Goldman Sachs has a forecast on oil prices to hit $65 in 2021. But are there any indications to justify this optimism, especially now oil has fallen below $40 and immediate prices are below future prices?
Yeah, I took a double back step when I saw that number as well. It's a hard one to envisage. I'm guessing that they are actually picking that these vaccines arrive en masse in the first quarter of 2021. The world gets inoculated and we all start moving on with our lives again. I do believe that part of that process will happen in the first quarter of 2021, but I do believe the economic damage will be around with us for some time. And I think that number is perhaps a little optimistic. Also, there is a lot of supply around in the world. Yeah, there's plenty of supply, and the futures markets are telling us as much. So I think that number is perhaps a little optimistic. And I think $55 to $60 is a more realistic number. And that's on the basis that mass air travel recommences and the world does pick up quite a lot of speed in its global recovery next year.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Jeff. That was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Allwonder, and not particularly on board with Goldman Sachs' $65 oil forecaster for 2021. So understandably, especially if you look at the Brent crude price this morning, which is currently at $39.78 a barrel. And this is below $40 for the first time since late June. And after 2 months of largely trading between $42 and $45 a barrel, futures in New York have also plunged with demand faltering.
Yeah, so I think a lot of things are happening now, right? Oil has a bleak outlook, according to some traders, by the way they are trading, given Asia's stalling demand recovery and the end of US summer driving season, and also increased supply from OPEC and its allies.
Yeah, but you know what else has been going down, Lynn, or is down right now? Tesla sinks, has fallen over about 21%, shaving about $82 billion from its valuation. This is a stock that we've seen a lot of trading over the last few weeks and an incredible amount of upside in its rally. If I take a look from the March lows of March 17 up till the peak last week, the stock was up around 600% or 590%. At these current levels, the stock is up about 360%. So still a big gain from the lows of March. But it is indicate. I think this is we're seeing a bigger tech sell-off as well, largely. And I think this was one particular news flow that came out of this was the fact that it was it missed out on being included in the S&P 500, which could have played into this lack of optimism around the stock.
Yes, I do recall more than a week ago we did interview one analyst, and he was actually not optimistic that Tesla would be included in this index because the fact that they have the fluctuating earnings.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tesla's share price, I think, had largely reflected the assumption that it would be included in the S&P 500 as well. So now that it has been sidelined, it's taken a bit of a dip. And on top of that, General Motors & Co. also announced that it would take a $2 billion equity stake in hybrid truck maker Nikola Corp, which I think was on the most traded list.
It was up 41%, while Tesla fell 21%. So some action happening in the electric car vehicle space.
All right, and we're going to be heading into some messages right now, but then up next we're going to speak with Dr. Carmelo Frelito, CEO of the Center for Market Education, about what might happen if the government introduces an e-commerce tax. We're also running a poll on the subject asking you, should consumers be taxed for e-commerce transactions? Tell us why or why not. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.